Well, we're in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So if you'll turn to chapter 12, there's a few things that we can go over and fit into our time together that I think will be profitable for us from the Word and help us to gain further insight into this concerning spirituals, or as we have it rendered there in verse 1 of chapter 12, spiritual gifts. You know, the word gifts there was an addition by the translators. They put that in so that we'd have an understanding. It's not a bad insertion. It isn't just a description of the gifts. And so it's kind of the functioning of the body of Christ with the infusion of the Spirit of God moving through the people of God. And I think that's important to realize that, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to understand what specifically is my gift. And yes, you have specific gifts that God's given you, but God also does this thing where he pours out his Spirit in gatherings, in situations, in circumstances where you and I need an infusion of the Spirit to work through us in a circumstance. That's so important. It's so, so important. And last couple of sessions when we talked about the working of God's Spirit and the gifts of God's Spirit, we kind of did it in an introduction format so we would be thinking about the reality that we, one, need the gifts, and the gifts are for today. And we went through the scriptural basis for that. And I told you I would put together an outline, and I am able to do that. I still have not been able to do that. I am able to do that. I've got it in my notes, but I need to take it from that and get it in just a simple format to hand out to you that gives you the scripture references. If you were here, you could write them down. If you want to jump ahead, you can get a CD and you can go back through and because we listed them out clearly to go through it. But the need and the dependency on the Spirit is real. It's important for us to acknowledge that. We need that. We're dependent on God's Spirit to do the work of God. But we need to be dependent on the leading. When we get into Acts, we realize all through Acts, as we study through that, it is the continued work of God's Spirit moving through God's people. So it's a continued work of Jesus Christ here on this earth as Jesus is now moving through you and me, through the body, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening. That's what's happening today. It hasn't stopped. It's still going on today as we watch it unfolding as God is moving through God's people. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We talked about that. We talked about the significance of having an understanding. And it's interesting, the five things that Paul talked about are the five key things that we see people are most ignorant about. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so this is a matter of the heart, that no one can really express that truly, and that if the Spirit comes upon you, you're not going to start babbling and saying blasphemous things. That would be inconsistent with Scripture. It'd be inconsistent with God's heart. Again, this is review. We talked about these things, and you can go back through and listen to the study on that. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And that's where we kind of left off. Verse 7 is where we're picking up this morning. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This manifestation, or to make known, or it is given to you through the Spirit, not for you to have a banner for yourself, but for God to be able to flow through you. And what is the purpose, as it's stated here at the latter part of verse 7? Given to each one for the profit of all. Again, this is the danger in this, is that we start becoming self-focused, because that's our world today. That's how it gets in focus. It's all about one person. It's all about, you know, the individual, instead of seeing it on the big picture of God wants to move through you to be a blessing to others. You know, throughout the Scriptures, one of the things you'll notice is that God wants to bless many, but he works through the few. He wants to move through to get a hold of the masses. He wants to move through you and through me to touch people with the love of Jesus Christ and to encourage them and to be a blessing to them. That's really the heart of God's Spirit as the the gifts are being manifested, or these things to make known, or this evidenced working of God's Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To one is given a word of wisdom. So what, when you specifically think of this, and some of us have had a varied exposure. I've had a pretty broad perspective of this in my exposure, and some of you may be in that same spot where you've been in situations and you've maybe seen some of these things where people are, you know, they get up in a service and they may even interrupt what's going on, and they would start to say, thus says the Lord, little children. They go on with their whole spiel, and okay, but was that really, was that a word of knowledge? Was that a word of wisdom? Was that prophetic? What was it? And the best way we can get to know what whether these things are valid, because I'm all for it. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe they're for today. I've clearly gone through that as a doctrine, you know, as we went through that, that's available, that's for today. But the problem, that the reaction to the gifts of the Spirit, of why we become so timid and so unsure about it, is because we don't know, because we are ignorant about the operations of God's Spirit. And because of the ignorance, then we shift into a reactionary thing, saying, oh no, that can't be for today, because I, in my mind, can't fully comprehend or understand or know exactly how that works. My biggest concern with that thought process is that comes from a strictly intellectual-based mode. And when you approach God from strictly an intellectual basis, you're going to miss the big picture of who God is. God is the one that spoke. This is out of Genesis 1:1. God is the one that spoke the world into being. How big is your God? Is God able to do something that maybe you just don't quite understand? My goodness, I hope so. Why pray to a God that can't do any more than you can do? That would seem stupid, wouldn't it? To me, it would. God is vast, awesome, powerful. And I think the reality of asking for God's Spirit to move in and through our lives, I think there's just this great misunderstanding. And so there's this reaction. So we set it aside and say, well, yeah, because I don't understand it, it must not be for today. And I just disagree with that. I understand there's plenty of schools of thought out there with that. I just don't see it to be scripturally consistent with the heart of God, or with the move of God, or the way His Spirit seems to work. So this idea of a word of wisdom, let's break them down, look at them a little bit. It's a word that really kind of settles things out. It kind of brings in this settling confidence from God. It's definitely something that's supernatural. A word that settles things in a situation. Not through human means, not through just us or through our thoughts, but something that is supernaturally interjected into a situation. John 8. Let's look at Jesus as giving us an example in this. John 8, verse 7. You remember this situation. This was the woman who was brought to Jesus, who they brought to her, said she was teacher. This woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. They said, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? They're wanting to trap him. They're wanting, because he's the friend of the commoners, they want to trap him. And Jesus, man, look at verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Be the first one to throw the stone. He who is without sin, I just think that's, they've got this thing, they think they've got Jesus trapped. And Jesus has a word of wisdom. And he says, hey, you guys got this all figured out? The one who's without sin, you throw the first stone then. What a perfect, perfect, perfect word. And then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And we can do is kind of look at and think, well, what would it be that he could be? No doubt there was a, because they left from the eldest to the youngest. No doubt he was just writing down maybe some things that not everybody was aware of, or maybe he was writing down a place that would trip a trigger for one of them. Maybe an event. I don't know. But he was writing down something, and they just began to leave because they weren't in a position to throw any rocks. Man, that's a word of wisdom. Acts 15:28, we see a kind of another example of something like this. I just wanted to give a snippet, a little thought to get your idea, your wheels running on this so that we could see a little more effectively how this might play out. You remember they had a thing called the Jerusalem Council. Remember there was an issue between the Gentiles and the Jewish believers. It's one church. Paul knew that. Peter really knew that. But still, there was just this contention, because the Jews were still by tradition following, you know, their traditions and aspects of the law and so on. Even though they understood salvation came through Jesus Christ, they were still kind of hung up on the Mosaic law and functioning that way. And Peter, you know, talked at length with them and brought up kind of some things to think through. And if this is good in verse 20, and again, wasn't that a settling thing that Jesus said? Wasn't that something that he just spoke and it kind of settled things out? Yeah, who's without sin, throw the first stone. Kind of settles the matter, doesn't it? Everybody leaves. Kind of settled things. Well, the same thing here. There's this contention between, you know, what is expected of the Gentile believers, and should they be forced to live in a Jewish tradition and lawful way? And they said, well, ultimately said, no, that's just not right. Why would we impose it? Didn't benefit us any, really. This is just who we are culturally, but it didn't benefit us really to speak of in anything as far as salvation would go. So why, we can't even live up to these expectations. So why would we superimpose that upon anyone else? Isn't that great? You ever think about that for yourself? The things that you legal-beagly develop in your mind that makes things right and wrong, and what's just so, and that idea that you can develop in your mind. And the, you know, well, we just don't do that. You know, oh, really? Okay. Well, fair enough, but, you know, it's about God's grace and his mercy, and maybe if that's a growth point that needs to be discussed, fair enough. But still, this idea of superimposing the expectations on others that maybe you can't even live up to either. Verse 28 says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things," and then he lists them out. In other words, when Peter stood up in verse 13 and got their attention, said after, in the midst of this kind of debate over it, he says this, hey, look it. He lays out this whole thing from the Lord of how, hey, this, we couldn't live up to this. It wasn't what worked anyway. And he brought this word of wisdom that settled the matter. And it seemed good, again, for us as New Testament believers, that the Holy Spirit is going to move in that way and bear witness in this thing, and it's going to kind of be a settling thing. It doesn't add more confusion. It doesn't create more conflict. A word of wisdom just comes into a situation. Now, this doesn't just happen in a gathering. See, I think sometimes we think that these manifestations are going to happen only in a gathering of people, of believers, you know, in a church service setting. See, I don't see it that way. These things happen in various situations and circumstances throughout our life, including these. I tell people, when I tell them about our hospitality table over here and the significance of what that means to me as a pastor, that is a very important area of ministry to me. Because as I walk through, I'm not eavesdropping on you. I'm telling you, I'm not. But I can hear things that are just words. Not always, because my hearing's getting worse. So you can pretty much say anything you want most of the time around me, because I probably won't hear it. But as I'm walking along, though, I can hear some of the things that people are praying for other people for. They're talking about victories and struggles in the Lord. There's a lot of ministry going on. I don't doubt that there's some word of wisdom that comes. Now, if you think, oh gosh, I hope I'm the next one to share a word of wisdom, don't worry about that. You know, the Lord is just going to give you insight in a situation as you need that, as it's going to be to the profit of all. Remember, it's not about you. You can be, set yourself free. It's not about you. It's about God just simply moving through you. A lot of times, you won't even know until way after the fact that someone might come up to you and say, brother or sister, you know, that one time we were talking, you won't probably even remember it. And they'll say, the Lord really spoke to me, and this is how it played out. And you just high five, glory to God. You know, praise God you didn't know about it, because you might get a wagon and paint it all up, and word of wisdom tour you go on, you know? You see what I'm saying? This is our, isn't that our tendency? Isn't that like us to do that? And so, you know, now we're going to put out our little 5-gallon bucket behind the thing and give to the Word of Wisdom ministry. And, you know, it's just the human thing, you know? But so our objective is, man, let's let, for the edification, to build one another up. The Spirit wants to move through you to bless and help somebody else out. Let's look at another one. The word of knowledge is the next on our list as we go through this today. A word that gives insight to a situation. The first one was a word that settles things in a situation. So it's kind of a settling, calming effect that word of wisdom brings in. Now, a word of knowledge, on the other hand, is one that gives insight to a situation or a matter that was not previously known or could have been known in a natural way. It was not previously known, nor could it have been known in a natural way. Basically, my emphasis on it, my parentheses in my notes was divine revelation. God gave you insight into a matter. John chapter 4, Jesus. He's talking with the woman at the well. They have this dialogue together, and which is just so much in there to talk about, but let's just stay focused. He looks, as he interacts with her, he gets toward the latter part of his dialogue with this gal. And, you know, she says, well, yeah, I want water. Well, yeah, okay, well, go get your husband. Well, you know, I don't have a husband. Okay. He goes on and has this interaction with her about, well, no, you've had 5. And this one that you're living with now is not your husband. And Jesus, divine intervention as the Spirit is moving through him, just brings this out onto the table. It's a word of knowledge. It wouldn't have been known otherwise, except it was revealed. It's amazing how this can happen. These things are not specific to any one person. You may get a word of wisdom one time in a situation and not really know it. You may get, and you may be aware of it. Maybe as you journey along with the Lord, I've found from time to time I become a little bit more aware of when that might be the case, that God's speaking something. I don't get warm. My ears don't turn red. I don't know anything about it, but just inside myself, I realize, that's not something I'm normally aware of. So that's interesting. Now, sometimes I'll even say, hey, I think this might be significant. You might really tuck this away and think through it, pray through it. If I say that, I would consider it, at least. If someone said that to me, I would consider it. Not in a weird way, but just a way of, hey, this might be insightful. This might be beneficial. This might help you out. But one time it might be a word of wisdom. Another time it might be a word of knowledge. Because these things can move through any believer. These aren't offices held. These aren't specific in that way. These are options that happen to all and can move in and through all believers. These are not independent, and these particular things, these particular, again, manifestations are not singled out for just an individual here or an individual. It can just happen in and through the body of Christ as God wills. Wonderful. Interesting. So Jesus exposes the reality of this gal, who she really was. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is there was no studying of this, there was no investigative stuff done on it, and there was no analyzing of it. It was just something that was known, that was brought out. God's Spirit brought it out in order to minister more effectively in that situation. So again, this idea of, no one should be thinking that, oh, I've got the word of knowledge. That's my gift. I've got the word of knowledge. Not likely. The reality is God manifests that in a needed situation to what? Maybe reveal himself to someone? this list can go on and on and on of what that might pertain to. It might be to an issue that is really creating a lot of trouble for that person. And one of the things that I think you and I need to learn as we explore these things, as we develop and grow in these things, is how to handle these things right inside ourselves. That's what I find, you know, in my journey with the Lord. I'm very visionary. And being visionary is, I have to really be careful when I'm talking to certain people, especially around the office. I have to be real careful, and I try, because I've been in other spots where I've been working with really visionary, other visionary people, and I'm trying to understand, is this something we do something with today, or is this just something we're doing? You know, because when you're visionary, you're just looking out at things and seeing what God might be wanting to do in a situation, in a matter. So you got to be able to, you know, contain that and understand how that, and I think that's true of these areas of manifestations of the Spirit. You know, how God works in and through our lives in that way. You remember in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira were talking about, you know, this awesome deal they made on their land sale and how they're giving all the resources to God, you know, and they're going to be as spiritual as everybody else and all that stuff. You remember that situation, right? And it was basically a matter of, it wasn't just that they were lying, but it was the hypocrisy of it all that was really one of the core issues. But what was interesting to me about that is that, again, this was kind of a word of knowledge. And he said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to God, you're lying to the Spirit, man, about this. Dead. Can you imagine? We'd all be dead. There'd be no Calvary Chapel. You know? Can you imagine that? Boom, dead. And so God gave Peter for a specific situation. And why did God strike people dead then and not strike people dead now? Because you're all liars, and I know that. We all are. Okay, it's happened. We've all done it. Isn't that the funniest thing? You never have to teach your kid how to do that. Isn't that an amazing fact? You never have to teach them how to do that. They just, it's axiomatic. You know, funny stuff. Anyway, that whole idea is that was revealed in that situation, that word of knowledge, it was given to him. But that was, as Peter did that, why wouldn't God strike everybody dead now? Well, think about it. It was to set, one of the things that you got when you're studying through the word, there are things that are done sometimes to set precedent, to reveal how significant and how serious God is about a matter. So all you can do is hope you're not Ananias or Sapphira in a situation, I guess, you know. I hope I'm not going to be the one that we set precedent with on something like that. But God has been so gracious and so good. But the information was given to Peter to set precedent, to you know, really bring insight into a matter. And look at it, it's recorded in Scripture for us to help us to grow and develop further. What about this idea of faith? As faith is operated. So, everyone's been given, in Romans 12:3, everyone's been given a measure of faith. Now, that's your measure of faith to believe for salvation, right? We've all been given a measure of faith that we might believe for salvation. Great, done. Put that over there. We've all been entrusted to that. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a measure of faith to believe on the Lord and to have everlasting life. That's given to us. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you can give your life to the Lord. God will give you the measure of faith to believe on him. It's a radical concept, and it's a powerful truth. God can give that to you that you might believe on him. That's why you're here today. You wouldn't have come. Why would you come hang out at some school that converts into a church on Sundays and Wednesdays? I mean, the Lord's doing something in your heart to bring us together for that purpose. But this idea of the measure of faith that's been given to all, and then this is the idea of something a little further than that, that's really a manifestation of faith, where we are expressing our faith, believing on God. Now, this might be a various circumstance, a situation that might happen to you, where you're there and God speaks something to your heart and you're believing in something. I believe, when Lo and I, when we were talking about, when we were traveling this last time and we were standing there at a McDonald's and we talked with Dominic, I really believe God gave us a measure of faith with him when we held hands out front and just prayed with him. I don't know how much he had on his own, but I was believing the Lord that God was going to do something in that guy's life. And he needed to turn away from what he was doing and get back right with God. And God gave me a measure of faith, a manifestation of faith to believe that for him and for that situation that he was in. So they walk up, Peter and John, they're walking along, and they come to the gate, beautiful, the temple, and they're talking with this one lame guy they know, not literally a person who was lame. And they're talking with him, because you're thinking, gosh, I know a lot of them. Anyway, they're talking with this guy, and the guy realize, man, the Lord wants to heal him. So there's a couple of gifts starting to swirl. But initially, for this to take place, for the healing to take place, the exercise of faith had to take place too, didn't it? Simultaneously. But they had to speak that out at some point, didn't they? They had to say to him, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh my goodness. I dare say, how many of us have really been in that situation where you stuck out your hand by faith and just said, come on, get up and start pulling this guy up? We would freak out. What if it doesn't work? You know, but that's the thing about faith that's powerful. When God comes upon you in that way, you know that you know that you know that God's going to do that right then. And you exercise that. That's radical, isn't it? That's the faith side of it, and we'll get to the healing side of it in just a second. But the faith side of it, Jesus also walking and looks at the fig tree, you remember? Goes, he's trying to find figs. There should be figs on it. There's not figs on it. It's leafed out. They start to grow the fruit first. It's just that kind of a tree. They start to grow the fruit first, and then if there's leaves on it, there for sure should be figs on it. So he's going to grab some figs off. No figs. And he curses it and tells it, you know. Now, there's an illustration to Israel in that. There's a lot of things with that. I understand that. But one of the things he talks about is faith regarding that. He talked about how if you believe in God, the key with faith is believe in God, not faith in faith. That's the struggle. That's the rub on it. Faith in faith, faith in faith. No, faith in God to do something. That I believe that God can do things. That I believe, and you believe, that God actually did speak the world into being. That's a radical faith to believe that. Did you see it happen? Nope. Every time I look at a little baby, it stretches me. I mean, I just think, man, God, you are just so miraculous. It's just great. God is so good. And if we could just keep our focus on him and our faith gets stretched. One of the things that we learned about faith when we'd gone through the Gospels too, remember, is Jesus would teach on faith. And then what would he do? He'd give the exam. He'd teach on it, give the exam. Give you an opportunity. Faith is an interesting. I think all of these things are interesting to me. Because it's all part of the operation. Faith has to be activated in all of our lives for all of these things to happen well. I really believe that. But the manifestation of faith and this operation of it, the idea, the concept is that you and I are going to exercise that. We're going to do something with that. If we just think on it, it's not really faith in motion. And faith is, remember, if you see it happening in advance, it's not faith. Faith is believing in things yet unseen. That's the operation of it. It's that it's coming to pass, even though it isn't come to pass at this point. That's God giving that measure of faith or that amount of faith, that manifestation of faith for you, for me, in a situation that God might move in a specific, special way. What about gifts of healing? Now, notice, this does not say the gift of healing, does it? Plural, gifts of healings. This means that in a setting, there can be God moving, touching, working through different people, bringing about a healing touch to many in whatever the need might be. It's not that one person possesses the gift of healing. I believe those people might have more of a manifestation in faith to operate that, but I don't believe that they have just a gift of healing, because this is the gifts of healing. That God, moving through his people, through the body of Christ, can reach out and touch and minister and bring healing to the body of Christ, to those in need. And again, some of those times where we've seen that happen, it certainly, the person that got healed, when Jesus walked by and talked to the one guy, I don't know what happened. How? You know, because they're wanting to know, how did this happen to you? How did this happen to you? Guys, I don't know. How does he know he was blind? All of a sudden, I heard somebody make a noise, and all of a sudden, splatter hit my face. Somebody spit on me. How it happened is just pretty irrelevant, because all of a sudden, next thing I knew, I could see, and I know who did it. It was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus did it. It's not the how, it's the who. I think that's important, don't you, in the operation and the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit of God? That it's not the how, it's the who. And it's not the who isn't you. I'm going to write a new kind of, in the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to do a who, you know, one of those things. From Dr. Seuss has called me already about this, and we're working on a special book for Christian kids. But the how and the who of the Spirit of God. But you can see what's going on with this. This idea of, man, the working of God and how God wants to move. And we don't want to just table it and put it off to the side. It does not say gift. It says gifts. And God wants to heal and move and do supernatural touch. We saw this throughout the Gospels, and we see it through all of Acts. Healings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, certainly faith being activated. You see, all through Acts, it was the Spirit that was doing the leading, really, within the church. And I love what Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit, are we now going to be made perfect? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Are we going to now go on to this, we've got all this knowledge and information, and so now that has more perfected us than the simple work of God's Spirit moving through the body of Christ. To me, I think this is empowering to me. I think this should be empowering to you. That God wants to use you. Yes, you. Just as an individual believer, God wants to move in your life to touch other people's lives, to help them in their journey with the Lord. And oftentimes, it will be very supernatural in a very natural way. I love that. I love how God works that way. And oftentimes, you may not even be really that clearly aware. That's the significance and the value for you and I of how do I walk in the Spirit. Man, I want to, my life journey, when that light came on 25 years ago, early on as I gave my life back to the Lord and started following God, all of a sudden that light, it was talked about, it was explained about this life in the Spirit and what the life in the Spirit was like. And man, I just have spent, I think about this all the time. I want to walk in the Spirit. That's where it's all at. Letting God move in and through our lives. It's one thing to know that God loves you. That's powerful. It's wonderful. But that God can flow through you. That God can use you in these odd, random situations. That you may be the weird person that stands at the end of the stairway that got rolled up to the jet. And you walk out and you got to stand at the bottom because God told you to hug that older gal. It's so distraught, that doesn't know God, and that's so distraught over the loss of her city and probably friends and family. Can't communicate, don't know the language. You and I don't know what that meant to somebody else. I'll never know. But God knows. your place, my place, is just to be the goofball that stands at the bottom of the stairs once in a while, you know? And sometimes that's just what we're supposed to do. Basically, doesn't it boil down to an obedience, doesn't it? Are you willing to let God work in and through your life? Are you willing to aspire to walk in the Spirit? See, that means I've got to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. I've got to let God be the priority in my life. I've got to really be seeking after the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God's Spirit just starts to flood in and starts. He's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for people that are willing to be used, to cross over the Jordan and be used. Doesn't matter anything about where you've been or what you've done or anything. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God wants to do that in and through your life. And you know what I found is the Bible talks about a continual filling, that it's not just a one-time thing. Well, yeah, I wanted to have the Spirit come upon me. I asked for that one time and nothing really happened. So no, it's a constant asking and a constant openness to God's Spirit coming upon us, that He might use us, that He might move through us. What a blessing we have as Christians. You and I, just as we pray for the Japanese people, that they would be the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet, that we pray for those missionaries and those Japanese nationals that are believers. We pray for them that they would be the eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet to that country. Let's pray right now. Let's pray together that God would help us to be that here. Father, that is our desire today. We want to be your eyes and your ears, your hands and your feet. We want to be used by you, Lord, to reach out to our city, to our metropolitan area. So, Lord, not just to the Overland Park and this part of the city, but to the whole city, to all of the Kansas City metropolitan area. Lord, it's our desire. And Lord, you've given us opportunity to reach out throughout other places to touch and minister and encourage. Lord, may we be your eyes and your ears, your hands and your feet. May we represent you, Lord, in a way that would give you honor and glory. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to understand these manifestations as we continue through them these next few weeks, just learning about who you are and how you move. Lord, we desperately need you. We desperately need a wave of your Spirit to come across this land in which we live. Lord, we pray for our president. Pray for all the government leaders around us. From the most basic of school board to all the way up into the Senate and Congress of the United States, Lord. That these leaders that have been elected, Lord, would somehow be led by you, Lord, even unknowingly possibly, that nothing would thwart your purposes, God. Lord, we ask for your will to be done. We pray that you would give us strength as Christians throughout our land to speak the truth in love, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.